Shalom, this is Billy Brim and the Voice of One Witness radio broadcast. We're talking about the outpourings of the Holy Spirit and how they have come to the fore in the last 100 years, just over 100 years, as the Holy Spirit prepares the church for the coming of the Lord. We have seen the outpouring at Azusa Street, we have seen the charismatic renewal, and we are preparing now for the greatest revival of all times, which Smith Wigglesworth prophesied. Now, everyone knows about this Smith Wigglesworth prophecy, but they don't know, not everyone, but the people, you know, that move in our circles, but they don't know what he actually said, and there's much conjecture over it. Someone has put together a book, The Smith Wigglesworth Prophecy and the Greatest Revival of All Time. Now, the reason why we don't know exactly, this was not recorded. It was given to a man, David Duplessy, who came later to be named, to be called Mr. Pentecost. He was from South Africa. His parents were ministers, and they had moved to South Africa because they were Huguenots, and they had been so persecuted in Europe that they made their way to South Africa. There, David was born in February 7, 1905, just before the Azusa Street outpouring. He also, as they came into, when they were living in South Africa, and when John G. Lake came there, and they came into the baptism with the Holy Spirit, and when they came into the baptism with the Holy Spirit, the Dutch Reformed Church, of which they were members, expelled them. And so David had in his life, David Duplessy, he had feelings against the Catholics, who had so persecuted the Huguenots. His family was descended from French Huguenots, a heritage that knew persecution at the hands of the Catholic Church. The Huguenots were French Protestants who joined the Reformed Church of John Calvin in the 1500s. However, they were never accepted by the powers of France, which was strongly Catholic, and they were repeatedly persecuted for their faith. The worst of this erupted on the night of August 23rd and 24th, 1572 in Paris, when many of the Huguenots gathered for the wedding of Henri de Navarre, who was a Huguenot, to Marguerite de Valois, the daughter of the Queen Catherine de Medici. At the order of Catherine, French troops murdered the Huguenots wherever they were found, killing some 8,000 in what history remembers as the St. Bartholomew's Day Massacre. In the following centuries, while many of these reformers remained to stand for their faith, others fled for the hope of religious freedom to the United States and South Africa and other places. Then David's folks in South Africa came into the baptism with the Holy Spirit and were removed from the Dutch Reformed Church, which they had been members of. So you can see that David's early life was spent in repudiating the Catholic Church, the Dutch Reformed. When he preached against the Dutch Reformed, he called it the blind leading the blind. And so when God gave him this prophecy through Smith Wigglesworth, it was an amazing thing. Now, I am going to read you some of how the prophecy came, but I want you to know that I know about this prophecy firsthand. In about 1982, Brother Kenneth E. Hagin prophesied to me that I needed to get from the great, people have come to call them generals of prayer, the old-time prayers, Brother Halverson, John G. Lakes, a daughter, Rachel T. Fateller, others, if I didn't get from them what they knew about prayer, they were going to go on and we would lose it. And so the way the Lord led me to do it was to have a meeting in 1983 in Los Angeles, California, at the Los Angeles Civic Center. In fact, I had quite an experience with God down on Azusa Street. And he said, I want you to get as close to Azusa Street as you can and to bring out these prayers. Because to move into the things of God that we need to move into, men need to know how to pray them into being. And so we went there. We had a great meeting, and it was noised abroad. Even though nobody much knew these old-time prayers, they were so powerful in the meeting that people began to notice it. The tapes of the meeting went out. We still have them. We at first called it Secrets of Intercession. We later called it Secrets of Prayer and Power, and you can get those from us by calling us at the number I give at the end of the program. You would be very blessed to have them, to hear Brother Halverson, to hear these people pray. And so after we had this, I got a letter soon after. I think we had it in April 1983, and soon after that, I got a letter inviting me to come to the Washington, D.C. area as a leader in prayer in the United States. That they were going to have a convocation of people who are prayer leaders. So I wasn't really what you call a prayer leader. I was just a person who had a meeting, one meeting. But I went to the resort where they were having it, and the first day they had all of us sit in a circle. And as I remember it, I was a little bit probably intimidated because this one was the head of such and such, and that one was the head of a magazine, and this one was the head of a denomination or a Bible school, and here was I. I was really a no one, and I had the only thing I had to say was that I had been the editor of publications for Kenneth Hagin Ministries for a number of years and was now, you know, ministering full-time. When I mentioned the name of Kenneth Hagin, they snickered. Some people snickered at me. Now, probably it was amplified in my little oversensitive ears, but I thought, oh, I don't know. I don't know if I can pray, you know, with these people, and they don't like me, evidently. Maybe they did like me, but anyway, that's how I took it. And I decided that we had registered that afternoon. The first sessions were the next morning, that I would go to the first session, which was going to be taught by David Duplessis, and I would listen to him, and then I would escape. So I did that, and he was very good. And then I did escape, decided I would go down to the cafeteria, get a cup of coffee before going back to my room to rest the rest of the day. And down in that cafeteria, I found about six other escapees and David Duplessis himself. So every day for the 3 days of the conference, I went to hear him in the morning, and then we all went to the cafeteria, and he poured himself into us. Sometimes I have to pinch myself to realize the things that have happened to me in my life. I know that it has to do with being a witness ministry and being a witness. As God has called me, we call this radio program The Voice of One Witness, that I have to witness things. I have to see things. I have to be there. And so Brother Duplessis talked to us about the Wigglesworth prophecy and how it came to him. As I remembered, he actually, when he described how Wigglesworth walked into his office and slammed him up against the wall, he literally picked me up by my lapels and pushed me against the wall and demonstrated how it was that Wigglesworth gave the prophecy to him. And so now I'm going to read to you about how that came. Wigglesworth came to South Africa in 1936. He had already been to Australia and New Zealand earlier. When he came to South Africa and he traveled throughout the land, David interpreted for him. And then he came back to Johannesburg and was going to have meetings there, and he decided that he should stay in the home of the David and his wife Anna. When he came, my wife was a little worried about this strange old gentleman. I think this is interesting because if you ever saw him in action, he was a sight to behold. I've seen people try to imitate other ministers in their style, but never did anyone try to imitate Wigglesworth. The truth is, there was no way they could. If he couldn't find a word, he made up one, but somehow everyone understood him. What he liked about me was that I always understood him, and so I made a good interpreter for him. He would speak English, I'd interpret into Afrikaans. When he stayed with us, we found him to be the finest gentleman to entertain. Early one morning, now here starts the prophecy. He walked into our kitchen unannounced while my wife Anna was busy cooking breakfast. He just stepped in and asked, "Where's David?" She replied, "Brother Wigglesworth, he's gone to the office already." You see, I used to get up at 5 and get ready by 6 and be in the office from 6 to 9. I was at the office. When Brother Wigglesworth heard this, he just turned around and shouted down the passageway to his son-in-law, Jimmy Salter. Jimmy! Jimmy woke up and came out and said, "Yes, Dad, what's wrong? Where's Compton?" "Compton, one of our workers, was driving for him." "Oh, he's still asleep. Wake him up. I must see David at once." Jimmy did, and in a little while, the car left. It was 12 miles from our home to our office. As I remember, I was sitting quietly working at my desk when suddenly the door flew open. I hadn't even heard any footsteps. All I knew was that all of a sudden, that door flew open almost with a bang, and there stood Smith Wigglesworth. He walked forward, stood up straight, and commanded me, "Get up from there. Get out of it. Get out. Come out here." I stood up and immediately I came over to him. He put his hands on my shoulders and pushed me up against the wall, looked straight in my eyes, and began to prophesy. I'll never forget the words of what he said. Quote, "The Lord says you have been in your Jerusalem long enough. You have to go to the uttermost parts of the earth, and he is going to send you there." There are a lot of things the Lord will say to you now as if it had already happened or already existed, but from our time frame, it's only that he intends to make it so. Brother Wigglesworth began to prophesy to me. Some things I knew, some things I didn't believe, some I didn't want to believe, and some I didn't expect to get or thought was completely out of my reach and out of my field. Things that were outside my own personal vision for my future. I had a vision that the Pentecostal movement would sweep the earth, but I thought it would pull people out of the old mainline churches, or at least that it would be a movement separate from those churches, forming a new church, but that is not what Brother Wigglesworth was telling me. He began to prophesy that I would travel more than most men travel. You will have the privilege to see and participate in the most glorious and mighty sweeping revival that has ever been known. It will come through the old line denominations. It is coming in a remarkable way. Ministers will accept the truth and accept the baptism, and churches will begin to accept this glorious endowment of power. He actually said that it would come through the other groups, not our own. And he prophesied to David that David would be used to bring it to the Catholics, whom, as you remember, as we said in the beginning, David had no love for. And also he would bring it through the mainline churches, and David was to take the message. David, and we're going to begin talking about what more he told me about the great end time move of God. We're going to talk more about that next Monday, or next Tuesday rather. We'll have our watching the week first on Monday, but be sure to tune in to that. And right now, you can get the book yourself, The Smith Wigglesworth Prophecy and the Greatest Revival of All Time. We're going to talk next week about the end time revival, the outpouring, whatever you want to call it, that we haven't come into yet. We're going to read some prophecies that were given concerning it, and even know that it is even here, even at the very door. I'm just back from the uttermost part of the earth, Australia and New Zealand, where Wigglesworth said that they would be a sign of this great thing. So just call us at 1-800-972-3447 and order your book, The Smith Wigglesworth Prophecy and the Greatest Revival of All Times, for $8. Be sure to send your young people to our Champions for Christ meeting, which is coming up the end of July and the 1st of August. We get to use all the wonderful facilities in Branson, and we have a great move of God every year. Miracles! We had healing miracles last year, and your young people will be so blessed. I get to speak to them, and I always speak to them about the amazing time they live in, and that they are the Daniels and they are the Esthers, and they are the ones that God will greatly use to do his exploits in these last days. You can call 1-800-972-3447 and find out how to get them here. Shalom, shalom.